And turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read the same verses we read last week, 5 and verse number 14. 5:14, it'll be 15:16, and then we'll read the verse of the day, and that is verse number 9. So Matthew chapter number 5. How many got the part 1 of the peacemakers last week? Amen. How many missed the peacemakers last week? All right. How many don't know what I'm talking about? Amen. All right. If you weren't here last week, you're in the dark. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. We're going to read that and give you some brief topics today that we're going to discuss, and then hopefully go home and be back tonight. Don't forget, come back tonight. What are we studying tonight? Speaking in tongues. Amen. Deacons is Wednesday. Tongues study starts tonight. Amen. And so if you don't know anything about speaking in tongues, you need to be here tonight. If you've got a tongue, you need to be here tonight. So you can know how to effectively use it. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Everybody there say amen. All right. We're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16, and then come back up and read verse 9. You read together with me in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Going back to our study, shining God's light with all of our might. The household view is in question here, because he says in verse 15, it gives light unto all that are in the house. And we want to make sure that each one of the Beatitudes are being shown in our homes and outside of our homes. And we began last week talking about being a peacemaker. And as we talked about that, we gave some explanation of that, which we will do here in just a minute to get you caught back up. And then we're going to give you the next point. Last week, we talked about the inworking of peace. Today we're going to talk about the outworking of peace. Amen. How many of y'all want peace? I think everybody wants peace, and it is something that is elusive. It comes and it goes. Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. Amen. But we're going to give you some things today that will give you prolonged peace. Prolonged peace. You say, preacher, there is no such thing. I beg to differ, when you know the Prince of Peace. Amen. Father, bless now in our message this morning. Lord, thank you that we could recognize the students. And what is not something that we do every Sunday, but I'm thankful that we can do it at least once a quarter, Lord, and let the children know how much importance we place on the Word of God and their adherence to the Word of God and their behavior in their classrooms, Lord. And I do praise you for every teacher that has taught and every student that has learned. And now for us adults, as we apply the Word of God, help us, Lord, to understand what it means to have this type of a peace. Lord, if we don't have peace, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that we can enter in to your peace, and that is that perfect peace, that peace with God. Lord, we thank you so much. Bless now in the song that will be sang. Lord, those that could not be with us this morning, we think of Mrs. Dawson with her situation, and also Miss Charmaine and being ill with her migraines, and others that could not be here today. We're thankful for those that could be here, Lord, and pray that you'll give us a blessing from your word today. Encourage our hearts, and Lord, convict us where conviction is necessary. Convert us where conversion is necessary, Lord. Most of all, comfort us where comfort is necessary in the area of peace. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. John's going to sing for us. So, John, you go.
I had another song I'd all week for. And I was practicing it this morning, was going to sing it, but in the middle of Sunday school, God placed another song on my heart. And I just hope you listen to the words. It's called Follow Me.
Give me a Diana, can you play an E-flat?
Okay, thank you. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk that narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon the cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently said to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Yes, if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Since early in my Christian life, a missionary over in France named Jim Boffman sang that, and I have not heard that in probably over 20 years. Amen. So thank you, John, for that special. Amen. Follow me. That's an encouragement. Well, we are going to pick back up where we left off last week. If you were not here last week, we're talking about shining God's light with all of our might, and the area of peacefulness is in question. Or being a peacemaker. Some of the things that I brought up when we deal with the inworking of peace is we've got to understand that all of us ought to want to be peacemakers. Nobody ought to want to be a troublemaker, amen? And so we ought to be, as Christians, as saved people, peacemakers, or making peace with others. And we said that it's hard to be a peacemaker when you don't have peace with God. And the definition of peacemaker deals with bringing one party together with another party, but the important thing that Jesus is getting to, the deeper meaning, is bringing people to God. And so we need to grab the unsaved or the sinner who's at odds with God and bring him to God and be the link or the go-between to bring man and God together. So when you look at being a peacemaker, we really cannot be a peacemaker until we're at peace with God first, and we looked at that last week, because our light as a peacemaker is to bring people together with God. Now, in order to do that, guess what? I've got to be at peace with God myself first. Amen. If I'm not at peace with God, how am I going to bring somebody else to peace with God? Amen. And so we began looking at that last week, the inworking of peace. Amen. And so when you deal with that topic, the inworking of peace, the actual definition of peacemaker I gave you last week is to be pacificatory. You say pacificatory. What does that mean? And I gave you the definition. It is the act of making someone calm or non-hostile. It is the bringing of tranquility to a situation. It is the reconciling of parties that are at odds, especially man and God. And so as we gave that definition last week, we found out that all of us at one time were at war with God. Isaiah 48:22 said, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." You say, "Preacher, I'm not wicked." And we looked at the definition of wicked. It's anyone that's just morally wrong. You're not doing what God told you to do. Amen. And so all of us at one time or another have been wicked. And many have no peace because their conscience tells them that they're at odds with God. But then we found that in others, their conscience has been defiled. And their conscience actually tells them they're doing right when they're doing wrong. And we use the cannibalistic societies, how they can justify eating people. Now, I know some of y'all got a problem eating raw meat. Or you go to these sushi gardens and you eat the raw fish, amen. I just have a problem, unless it's a sardine, I just got a problem with raw fish, amen. Some of you can eat a steak and it can be bleeding all over the plate. I got a problem with that, amen. It's got to be cooked. It's got to not have any ooze of blood in it, amen. I just can't do that, amen. And so if it's got any moo in it, amen, it's got to be cooked out. And so when you deal with cannibalism, there are those that think it's okay to eat somebody. And their conscience has been conditioned that way. And we spoke about 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so if a person's conscience is seared with a hot iron, if they think they're doing right, they've got to be introduced to what God says what right is and what wrong is. And if they're not faced with the word of God, your words aren't going to do them any good because their conscience is telling them they're okay because man's laws has said they're okay. By the way, man's law said it's okay for two guys to get married. Man's law said it's okay for two girls to get married. Man's law said those things are okay, but guess what? My Bible says it's not okay. So I don't care what man's law says. Somebody's conscience can be conditioned to say, well, see, man has no problem with that. Well, God has a lot of problem with that. And so it matters not what your conscience tells you in that regard. What matters is what God says. And so our conscience can lead us astray. I was reading a devotion this week, and I mean, it was a real blessing. And let me share that with you this week. And it talks about what happens with us when our relationship with God is not right. It says this: since national and international peace are established only by the great peacemaker himself, it then follows that wickedness must be dealt a death blow. We already know we've all been wicked. The Old Testament term for peace, it says, meant soundness or completeness. Sin and wickedness can never bring peace. Instead, they disrupt relationships with God and with men. A sinful person is never truly at peace because apart from his creator, he is never complete. Likewise, the nations of sinful humanity cannot truly achieve peace because apart from God, they are left with rebellious self-centeredness and so will always be at odds. Tranquility and unity are outgrowths of restored harmony with God. Personal peace comes from the same source. Sin must have an adequate solution. Peace was provided for us by Christ, who took our sins upon himself. Christ himself is the believer's peace. When you deal with that peace, we get peace by confessing our sins and trusting in God as our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how peace comes into our lives. And so when you're talking about the inworkings of peace, which we looked at last week, we have to be reconciled to God. Pastor White mentioned earlier the Bible reading. If you're reading through the Bible in the year, and in that same devotion where you would have read 1 Corinthians 16, there was the devotion that said this, and Pastor White, I'm sure you read it. It said, foreshadowed in the experience of Isaiah is the way of reconciliation to God for all men. Now, speaking of the area where Isaiah made the confession, here am I, send me. That's the area. It's the same area where he said, woe for me, I am undone and unclean. It said this as he spoke that. He came to forgiveness through the same steps that all must come. Knowledge of sin is the first step towards forgiveness. This step was occasioned in the prophet's experience by his sight of the holiness of God. Only when one sees God as holy can he conceive of himself as truly sinful. If you didn't see God as holy, I guarantee you probably didn't get saved. Why? God is holy, and God promotes holiness, and he shows you your sin. Without seeing the holiness of God, you're not going to see your own wickedness. And that's why his laws and his way is far above ours, and we have to look at his laws and say, oh, God, forgive me, a sinner. I've not met the mark. I've not met the standard. I'm not righteous. I am wicked. The angels cried, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw that. And when Isaiah saw that, something happened. It goes on to say, recognition of sin leads to confession of sin. Isaiah said, woe is me. When a man comes in contact with a vision of God, such as Isaiah beheld, he is burdened down by his iniquity in the light of God's majesty. I don't know about you, when I saw myself in the sight of God, I was burdened with my own sin. I was burdened with the weight of my sin. I was burdened that I was undone. I was burdened that God was holy and God was just in sending me to hell to pay for my sins. I was burdened about that. And I saw there was no payment that I could give to God. There was nothing that I can give him. I had nothing to offer but my sin. I saw that. Hey, friend, if you didn't see that, there's something wrong. Because you had to see God's holiness to get saved. Now, you might have religion, amen. Religion's not going to get you right. Goes on to say, when a man comes in contact with the vision of God, such as Isaiah, he beheld his burden, and he was burdened down by his iniquity in the light of God's majesty. This caused him to cry out like Isaiah, woe is me. Such confession and contrition are followed by forgiveness of sins. As forgiveness is appropriated by faith, one is reconciled to God by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Now justified, the believer is at peace and able to live in peace with God. Hey, it's not until we see that we're not at peace with God. I don't know about you, but if you came in here thinking that you're right with God today and you're not, you're still at war with God. You're living under a false pretense, friend. And one day it's going to be shredded before the holiness of God, and your nakedness is going to appear before you if you're not right with God. So as we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God, hey, I've got to be reconciled to God first and be that at peace with God. And so the inworkings of peace is paramount. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. After obtaining this peace or this type of peace with God, we then should maintain our peaceful relationship with God and with others. And it starts off with the peace that was mentioned earlier, which is the fruit of peace. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's that third one? Peace. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians chapter 5, because if I'm going to have the inworking of peace, then I should have the outworking of peace. Galatians chapter 5. Again, going back to Matthew, if you were here last week, once I have this peace with God established, now I'm on the road to becoming a peacemaker. But it's going to be seen and shown and maintained in my life by something. Notice Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice it is singular, fruit. Single. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, when I am born again, when I'm saved, and when the Holy Spirit is controlled in my life, I'm going to manifest peace in my life. I'll have peace with God, and I'll have peace with man. It's just that way. But guess what? It comes first with love, and then it comes with joy. Guess what? I have love in my heart for God, and I've got love in my heart for people, which gives me joy because I know I'm right with God. I can be joy, and joy means I'm okay in every circumstance. By the way, I don't need circumstances to make me happy. I don't need circumstances to give me joy. Jesus is my joy. And when I've got peace with God, I'm going to have love, joy, which comes with peace. Which comes with peace. And it comes with some other things. When you deal with this area of peace, Paul Chappell had a tremendous quote. He said this, "We do not need to have perfect circumstances to have perfect peace. Peace is the promise of Almighty God to His children when we trust in Him. He has the ability, because He is the Prince of Peace, He has the power to cause everything that happens to us to work for good. Peace comes from believing that truth. When we lack peace, we should view that as a reminder to focus on God rather than our circumstances, because He is our peace. And He is perfect peace." So with that said, I'm going to give you two outworkings of peace. Really three if you count this one right here, the Spirit's peace, amen. There's two basic ones that I'm going to give you. First one is perfect peace. If you are saved, if you've got peace with God, the reason that you can have peace is because God gives you perfect peace. Go over to Isaiah chapter 26. Perfect peace. If I'm going to be a peacemaker, and if I've had the inworkings of peace, I should have the outworkings of peace as well. If I'm a peacemaker, how can I maintain myself? I'm going to have perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, notice verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3 says this, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Give you a couple things about the outworkings of peace, this perfect peace. Thou will keep, that word keep there means to guard, protect, or maintain. That word perfect peace is a combination of two words that means shalom. It means to be kept safe or to be well, to be happy, to have welfare, health, or prosperity. So the Bible says, I'm going to guard, protect, or maintain him in shalom, in safety or wellness or happiness or welfare or health or prosperity, whose mind is stayed on thee. Stayed is an interesting word. Come here, Gregory. Where's Gregory at? Where's he at? Oh, come here, Gregory. The word stayed means to be propped up or to lean on or to bear up. So, Gregory, just lean back on your heels, okay? Don't. I got you. Just fall back. I got you. Fall back. This is the definition of the word. Gregory is not exhibiting any of his strength at all. I'm propping him up. I'm bearing him up. I'm holding him up. He is stayed on me. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Who's doing all the work here, me or Gregory? Gregory's resting. He's resting. So what the Bible says about my perfect peace is I'm going to keep that person in shalom, in wellness, in prosperity, in health, if he's propped up on me, if he's stayed on me. If I'm doing the holding up, you've got no worries because you're not exhibiting any strength. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Fall back again, Gregory. Now, come here, Terrell. Oh, he ain't graduated yet, has he? All right. I need you. Come here, Julianne. All right, Gregory, fall back one more time. Okay. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm holding him up. All right, Julianne, you come over here. Let's switch out. No. You're going to hold him. Well, notice the look on his face. Turn around. Now fall back the same way you did with me. You gonna catch him? How strong are you? Make a muscle. That's good enough. Amen. All right. G2, fall back, let her catch you. All right, I got you this time. All right, fall back, G2, let me catch you. All right, try more. Go ahead, Julianne, try it again. Go ahead. Got him, get him. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, The Bible says that will keep him, guard him, protect him, maintain him in perfect peace. Shalom, safety, welfare, whose mind is stayed on thee. Stayed means to prop up, to lean upon, to take or to bear up. Amen. And because he trusted in. The word trust means to be confident, to be sure, to be secure. What happened when I was there with G2? He had no problem with me catching it. Why? He knows me. He's confident in me. He trusts me. But what happened when Julian came? He said, I don't know you. I don't trust you. I don't know how strong you are. You ain't caught me before like this. Hey, it's the same way with us. If you don't know God, if you don't know God can touch, can trust you, can catch you and hold you, you won't have your mind stayed on him and your peace is gone. You forfeited your peace because you're always looking back. Oh, are you going to catch me, God? Well, I don't know. Well, maybe I need to help you, God. Well, I'll see. I'll prop my own self up and lean on you halfway. No, it doesn't work that way. Whose mind is stayed on, they didn't say half stayed on or three quarters stayed on. Hey, if I'm not stayed up on God, I got a problem. I'm trusting myself, which is false peace. And you don't have the peace that you think you have. That is a perfect illustration. As soon as I said Gregory, now somebody else is going to catch you. Oh. Hey, that's the way it should be. We're going to trust anything other than God's power, God's might, God's peace. It's forfeited. And we're going to have the idea of, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not good. I've not proved you. I've not tested you. I've not tried you. And that's why a lot of people don't have peace. They haven't trusted God. They haven't tested God. They haven't proven God. And so they have no peace. The Bible still says there is no peace, saith the Lord to the wicked. But if God is your sin bearer, if Christ has died for your sins and you've trusted in him, you don't have a problem with trusting him. Perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The emphasis on stayed, propped, leaned, holed up by, borne up by. We only know God if we trust him. And we only know him by his word. So if you're not in his word, guess what? You don't trust him. Amen. Well, Pete, preacher, I know him. You can know him a little bit more. You know, I've been married to my wife over 30 years. And guess what? I can still know her a little bit more. I can still know her a little bit more. So we've got the Spirit's peace, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Then we've got perfect peace, because the outworking of peace is going to be shown in the Spirit's peace. It's going to be shown in perfect peace. Then there's another one. I go over to Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. Matter of fact, as you're turning there, verse 4 of Isaiah 26, after it says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So I don't have to have my own strength. Why? It's God holding me up. It's God's strength. Everlasting strength. Psalm 119 and verse 165. One of the most controversial verses that people misquote and take out of context. It says in Psalm 119, when you talk about going from the Spirit's peace to perfect peace, to this great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Again, here, the word great means large, abundant, or plenteous. So I get large, abundant, or plenteous shalom, or prosperity, or welfare, or health, or safety. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. The word love there means to have affection for or to desire. So I've got this abundant, this large, a plenteous peace if I love God's law. Notice this, and nothing shall offend them. And this is where we get out of context. Well, God, I love your word, and somebody still offended me. It's not talking about that. Well, God, I read the Bible this morning, and they hurt my feelings. It's not talking about that. Well, God, I memorized scripture and somebody still says something and it hurt me. It's not talking about that. Well, God, I read my Bible and somebody gave me the evil eye. And now I'm hurt because they looked at me cockeyed. Or poke him in the eye and they won't do it anymore. No, I'm just joking. Some of you kids are going to do that, amen. The word offend there means be a stumbling block or an obstacle or enticement or a cause to fall or a cause to ruin Or in other words, nothing will be a cause for you not to do what you ought to do when it comes to doing right by God. That's what it means. If you know God's word and if you love God's word, nothing's going to cause you to not do what you ought to do when it comes to doing right by God. That's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get your feelings hurt, because you are. Now, if you remember the last sermon and you crucified, that won't happen. But if you're not crucified, you're going to get your feelings hurt. But it's not talking about offense as we know it. It's talking about being a stumbling block or a cause not to do what I ought to do. Why? Because I know God's word. And I know God tells me to do right regardless of what you do. Y'all with me? But see, if you're not going to love God's word and love his word above everything else, guess what? You're not going to do what you ought to do, and you will be offended. You will fall. You will be ruined. You will not do what you know you ought to do, because it's predicated upon what other people do to you. Amen. And it should never be predicated upon what other people do to you. It should always be about what God would have you to do. So the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. I've got an abundant or a large or a plenteous welfare or safety or health or prosperity. Why? Because I have a desire, an affection, a love for the word of God, and nothing shall be a stumbling block for me. Nothing shall be an obstacle. Nothing shall be an enticement or a cause to fall. Nothing shall ruin me, because I know to do what I ought to do, and you're not going to stop me from doing what I ought to do. Amen. So when you look at the outworkings of peace, after I've obtained this inworking of peace and I'm beyond the point of being at war with God, I've got my peace established, and then I get the outworking of peace, which is the Spirit's peace, and then I get perfect peace, and then I can have this great peace. Why do some people continue to go on week after week, day after day, year after year, when people get on their nerves, when people hurt them, when people offend them, when people leave them, when people stop serving God? Pastor White, I'm sure you know people that stopped serving God a long time ago. Brother Scott, I'm sure you know people that stopped serving God a long time ago. What keeps Brother Scott going? What keeps Pastor White going? What keeps me going? What keeps Brother Serge going? When other people fall down, when other people stop serving God, the love of the word of God. What you do is not going to affect what I do for my God. Great peace have thou with love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. So don't misquote that and think you're not going to get your feelings hurt, because you are. I've got some great men that I look up to and admire and respect them, and some of them have hurt me. But guess what? I'm not going to stop serving God. They offended me. You say, preach, you wasn't crucified. Not on that day, I wasn't. I was resurrected on that day, man. And I got offended. But you know what I said? I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to serve God. After obtaining peace with God and maintaining this peaceful relationship with this Spirit's peace and the perfect peace and this great peace, we finally now can begin to go to others, and we can conquer harder territory and become peacemakers, as Jesus mentioned in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. Why did you say that, Jesus? Because the inworking of peace is already here. I've got peace with God. The outworking of peace is already here. I'm not going to let you stop me from doing what I ought to do, because I've got the Spirit's peace, I've got perfect peace, and I've got great peace. So it's not going to be predicated upon what you do. It's all about what God has done and about my love and his law, and nothing's going to stop me from doing what I ought to do. So now I can be a peacemaker. I can start getting people and bringing them to God. And so next week we'll begin to see how I can be at peace with the unpeaceful. How I can be at peace with the unreasonable. And I can be at peace with the unreachable. Why? They're out there. The unpeaceable, they're out there. The unreachable, they're out there. The unreasonable, they're out there. And God expects you to be at peace with them. Say, preacher, how can I do it? We're going to show you next week. Amen. Say, I got to come back next week. The Lord tarries, you ought to. Great peace, I love thy law. Nothing shall offend. Then if you don't love the Lord, you're going to be offended. You're going to quit. You're going to be a stumbling block. Say, preacher, now you put me on the spot. Now, I hope to put you on the spot, the spotlight of God, the spotlight of God's word. Because we ought to want to be where God would have us to be. The end workings of peace says, I'm at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. the outworkings of peace. I've got the Spirit's peace, the perfect peace, and the great peace. Now I can have the outreaching of peace and begin to now reach out others and bring them to God and be what God would have me to be. And I don't know about you today, but if you're not at peace with God, you need to be. Say, preacher, how can I know whether I'm at peace with God or not? Have you accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior? I'm not asking if you got baptized. I'm not asking if you spoke in tongues. We'll talk about that tonight. I'm not asking if you joined this church. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you're a nice person or a kind person. I'm asking you, have you repented of your sins? Have you turned? Have you, like Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. God, I see you're holy, and I'm not. I have not reached your mark. I've tried to be baptized. I've tried to do right. I've tried to do good. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I've tried to do this, and I've tried to do that. But God, none of it pleased you. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of your glory. I recognize that. Lord, I recognize the wages of my sin is death. I ought to burn in hell. But I also recognize the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you recognize that? Did you realize your wickedness before God? Did you see His holiness and your sinfulness? And did you call on Him out of a repentant heart and ask Him to forgive you? Be merciful to me, a sinner. And did you get that peace restored? Because if you didn't, you've got a pseudo peace. You've got a false peace. And you're still at war with God. And after you've gotten saved, is your peace gone? That means you're not demonstrating the Spirit's peace or the perfect peace or the great peace that God has to offer to those that love thy law. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Born up by it, same way G2 is propped up, because he trusteth in thee. He's got confidence in God and God's ability. See, God never asked you to have your own peace. By the way, even the fruit of the Spirit is not your peace. That's God's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Left to ourselves, we've got no peace. The only peace we can have, the peace that God gives us in a right relationship with him. Amen. Amen. And so if you're not at peace with God today, I encourage you, when the invitation starts, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today? Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again today? Why don't you let us give you the assurance that there can be peace between you and God today, not based upon what you do, but based upon what he has already done. He said, it is finished. You don't have to do a thing, but trust him. And then he said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusteth in thee. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. My question to you is, do you have peace today? Do you have the inworkings of peace? And if you've got that, are you having the outworkings of peace? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, bless now this invitation time. Lord, I don't know who is saved here and who is not saved here today. But I do know that the inworking of peace is that, Lord, if we don't have peace with you, we're still at war. And we need to be saved. But Lord, if we do have peace, then it's going to be worked out of us by the Spirit's peace and that perfect peace and that great peace if we maintain our personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that is under the sound of my voice today that has never trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, we're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about being baptized. We're not talking about being good or bad. We're talking about being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Lord, bless now. Anoint hearts, anoint minds, and bring people to repentance, restoration. Bring Christians to a right relationship with thee. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many would say here today, preacher, I know I'm born again. If I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt in my mind, I raise my hand and testify to God above. I know I'm born again. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Amen. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. That's between you and God. I mean, be honest enough to say, preacher, you know, I believe I'm born again. I believe I'm saved. But there is a shade of doubt that maybe I'm not as right as I think I ought to be. And if God were to examine my life right now, I may not be saved the way God would have me to be. I may not be born again. And a preacher, pray for me today. I got a doubt in my mind, but I don't want to have that doubt. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Saying, preacher, pray for me. I got a doubt. I may not be saved. I see one hand. Amen. Is there another? I may not be saved. I may not have everything done right. Amen. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another? Honest before God. Hey, folks, we're talking about being at peace with God. Is it truly right between you and God? Can you say it is well with my soul? Or is there a sense of trouble in your heart? That's not perfect peace. Is there another that would join these two? Raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not absolutely sure. I'm born again. If I die right now, there's a chance I may not make heaven. I hope I do, but I'm not sure. Pray for me. Father, you see these two hands that were raised. Being honest before you, Lord, I pray that they would truly be able to say it as well with my soul. Lord, if they have that doubt, help them to allow us to take a Bible and show them how they can be born again. Help them to come forward boldly and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we know that you would gloriously save them, Lord. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Lord, you'll trouble that heart, trouble that mind until they get right with thee, Lord. Give them the courage, give them the boldness to get things settled with thee. Thank you for their boldness and their courage, Lord. Now bless, give them what they need today. And Lord, maybe there is one that did not raise their hand that know they need to raise their hand. Speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl. They would get things settled. They would come forward and let us show them in the Bible how they can be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brad's going to sing. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you raise your hand. Maybe you need to be saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as Brad sings. You come.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Christians are coming. What about you?
Why don't you let him come in?
Do you know if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven?
There's nothing in this world to keep you apart.
There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked.
What is your answer to him?
Time after time.
Time after time,
he's waited
he
for you.
Has waited before.
Now he's waiting again.
And now he is waiting again.
How about it?
To see
you
if
to
you're
open up that door of your
to
heart.
Open the door.
How about it?
Oh, how he wants to
the Savior is waiting.
Come in.
As he sings the next stanza.
If you'll take one step toward the Savior,
is it well with your soul?
My friend,
can you truly say you repented of
you'll
your sins?
Find
is your life
his arms
show
open
it?
Wide?
Are you born again? Are there doubts
receive
in your mind?
Receive him and all.
Do you go to bed tonight praying the same prayer again? Lord, please save me. Lord, forgive me.
Deep in
hey,
your heart,
heal.
Why don't
you get the Spirit's peace? Why don't you get that great peace?
Time after time,
are you sure?
He has waited
are you sure?
before, and now
I can't get saved for you, but I can sure show you the Word of God
again,
and you can get saved
to see if you're willing to open the door.
How about it, Christian? How about it, saved person?
Oh, how he wants to
how about it?
Come in.
Jesus is waiting.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
Perfect peace.
There's nothing
say, preacher, I
in this
be a
world to keep you,
you sure
apart.
You with God first,
what is your answer to
you have a question?
Him?
Are you sure? Are you doubting?
Time after time. He has waited before, and now he is waiting again.
To see if you're willing.
To see if you're willing to
open
the door.
Oh, how he wants to come in.
Oh, how he wants to come
in. Father, thank you so much for these that came to an old-fashioned altar. Lord, I don't know the heart of every person in this room. Lord, I do know that you desire to have peace with us. And I do know that you did not spare any expense. You sent the Prince of Peace to die on the Calvary's cross. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you put our sin on him. You crucified him in our place. He was buried and he rose again for our sins, our justification. Lord, I pray that there is no one that will leave here today with a doubt in their mind, with a doubt in their heart, they will truly say, you know, I've got the inworking of peace. I know I'm saved. And I have the outworking of peace. I'm showing the Spirit's peace and the perfect peace and the great peace. So now I'm ready to be a peacemaker to go to those unpeaceful people, those unreasonable people, those unreachable people. I'm willing and I'm ready. Well, don't let one soul leave here today without getting the question settled.